Well, it's been very good. Such an encouragement to hear those rich testimonies. I don't know what more I can say. Such a blessing, a testimony. Testimonies like this that we heard this morning. Maybe I'll make reference to it as we go along here this morning, but God bless you three for sharing. I don't know what else to say. It's so enriching and so encouraging. And in sync with the things that I have to share here this morning, I don't feel like I have to say anything. But I trust it can somehow add to it. There's a few more names I'd like to make reference to this morning. First of all, Caleb leaned over to me and asked if we could pray this morning for Marvin and Verna, friends of theirs in Indiana. And I understand, I think Verna has a cancer situation. Am I right, Caleb? And so we want to pray for them. Also, I'd like to just draw attention to Brother Tony. I met him in the back this morning, and Brother Tony is on his journey. Also, similar to some other stories that we had here this morning, in his pursuit of following God through the difficult things in life. And so we want to pray for Brother Tony as he wrestles through the things and situations that he is. And we all have them. And then I'd like to just have special prayer here for Brother James this morning also. James Kleinseltzer and his, may I say, weakened condition with his heart. And God only knows what the future of our brother is. He is losing weight. He's losing appetite. And his heart, they're doing another test or two on it to try to discern if there's anything they can do. Brother James has fought a good fight. And Brother James doesn't know if he's finishing his course. But I believe Brother James will finish his course with joy based on his testimony yesterday. And so James and Susie are at home this morning. James, his faith and his testimony is always encouraging to me. Simple faith in Christ. So why don't we stand together and we'll pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your great love. We thank you, Lord, that we can be together this morning like this and hear these testimonies, especially of the young folks who are committed and who are willing to wrestle and find their way with God and live out their commitment to Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray that you would bless each one. We ask also that you would bless Tony in his battle, in his fight of faith, helping to stand, help him to wrestle his way and follow Jesus Christ. Father, we commit him to you. And we also pray for Marvin and Verna there in Indiana with Verna's cancer situation. We ask, Lord, for healing. And we ask that you would give Marvin grace as he stands by his wife. Bless them, we pray. And Father, our hearts are turned towards Brother James this morning and Sister Susie. I know they would both long to be here. But I believe you have them where you have them. And Father, I pray that you would extend your grace and your mercy to them this morning. Thank you for James's testimony. And Father, it would be our desire that you would bring some recovery of his health as his heart condition worsens. Father, we pray for healing, but we commit our brother to you and pray that your will might be done on earth as it is in heaven, and give them both grace. Father, speak to us this morning. Bless us. We look to you in Jesus' name. Amen. I trust the things that I have to share here this morning will go fall in line, somewhat in sync with the things that we already heard this morning with our young people, as I stated. You know, one of the things that I couldn't shake this week is I was just thinking about the message coming today, and I was thinking of the things we heard last Sunday, I think it was, when Rachel shared their testimony. And I don't know, most of you probably remember, I believe Carl made a statement at the end after they shared their testimony about, and obviously Rachel focused a lot on the revival that happened there at the colony in Montana. And then the statement was made at the end that I just couldn't shake this week. And that was of the very few that are faithfully walking with God today. And our hearts cry out when those kind of things happen. And we say, why, Lord? What happened? Such a work of God. I actually listened to that video clip this week of how to get to heaven in Montana. And such a beautiful thing. Most of you, some of you probably heard it or watched it. Such a beautiful thing, and our hearts cry out, why, Lord? What happened? What went wrong? And you know, I don't have the answer as to what went wrong, but I'd like to look at some scriptures this morning that fall right in line and sync, that I believe this morning can give us great encouragement. And we heard testimonies that I believe are living this reality, finding their way with God. So that's where my thoughts went. And I'd like to turn to Ephesians, and you can turn there to Ephesians chapter 6. I have a text I'm mostly going to be focusing on here this morning. Ephesians chapter 6. And I'd like to talk this morning. In fact, the title this morning is A Call to Spiritual Warfare. A Call to Spiritual Warfare. And I'd like to take the text here from Ephesians 6, starting from 10 through 18. These are where my mind went this week as I was considering all that of the things we heard last week as I had shared. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So we get to this portion of Scripture, and he starts off with, finally, brethren. And I'd just like to focus our attention a little bit in Ephesians, leading up to this passage of Scripture, beginning in chapter 4, he talks about walking worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. And then Scripture goes on and talks about putting off the old man, putting on the new man. And then we come to chapter 5 that talks about walking in love, walking as children of light. And then on in Ephesians 5 there, walking not as fools. And then we have instructions for marriage. And then we go into chapter 6 and it talks about instruction about children obeying their parents and servants and masters. But just a lot of practical information is given as far as the practical outworkings of the Christian life. And then he gets to this and says, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And then talks about having on the whole armor of God. And the focus here in this portion of Scripture shifts to a battlefield context. And you know, it was so beautiful this morning to me to hear the testimonies of some young people facing some of those battles in life. You know, in reality, that's really where it gets down to where the rubber meets the road. Finding our way through those hard things. And this morning, you know, as I consider the great work of God that happened there in Montana, and I've always been one of them, how I appreciate stories of revival, how I appreciate stories of when God comes down and you have that atmosphere and just an atmosphere of revival. There's great things happening. There's souls getting saved. There's confessions made. And somehow it just, it's just a beautiful thing. And we love to be in that presence of those kind of events. They happen. And we just love if those things could continue on and on and on. Who wouldn't like that, right? And I'd like to liken it this morning as a sprint. You know, that's a bit of a sprint. There you have a situation like that happening and the feelings are involved and all these good things happening. Versus a marathon
life is like a marathon. And we know the difference from a sprint to a marathon. A sprint, if you have this race where you just have this sprint and in a short amount of time, it's over. That's not the Christian life, is it? This morning we heard of some of those on a marathon when things get tough. I am thankful this morning that when things get tough, there is a way and there is a remedy. And I think we find it in this scripture here this morning. And I only want to continue our thoughts with the things that we heard this morning that we can wrestle on and we can fight. And God bless you, Sister Heather, as you find your way with God and you wrestle with God. Did you notice the word wrestle is in here? And we heard a lot this morning about wrestling. About wrestling. Well, you know, this morning I'm not about to say what all went wrong there in Montana. We would probably all have our own personal ideas. But I believe the answer is in these scriptures when things get tough. You know, when the feelings are gone and we just have the tough things that we have to face. You know, just thinking about these a-thons, I had to think about, there's all kinds of a-thons out there. I guess there is anyhow. A bicycle a-thon, I'm not sure if I'm saying it right, but I think there is such a thing. It's usually once or twice a year when we have these bicycle treks go past our house. And most of you have been to our house at least once or twice and know we live on the top of a very hard hill. And you know, it's interesting to me to watch that. In fact, sometimes we have people stationed there at the end of our lane that are giving out water bottles for these people that are on this a-thon, which is a bicycle-a-thon, which I have no idea how many miles it is, but it's long. And boy, to see those men, older people sometimes, probably doing what I should be doing more of, panting to get up that hill, but they make it up the hill. It's not too many years ago I wanted to prove the point that I can actually do it without my battery, and I could still do it. I should probably try it again. But sweating, and it's the hard work, and it's you feel like stopping and turning around and going down. I'm thankful this morning we heard testimonies of people that are continuing to pedal. When the feelings are gone, when everything in us is saying, is it worth it? I believe that's where the test comes. And I believe that's the battles that God calls us to fight. And I believe that's going to be the determining factor if we're going to end well or not end well. And so it was so rich to hear that this morning. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Fits right into the things that we heard this morning and to the things that I'd like to share. Well, Paul told Timothy, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which were before thee, that thou mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. I am so thankful this morning. Again, I'll keep referring to it, to the testimonies. You know, we don't need to make shipwreck. And then he gives the two examples of two men that have made shipwreck. May we this morning be encouraged to fight the good fight of faith. You know, we can give up on the spiritual warfare and not experience the joys that the Christian life has. A lot of Christians today do that. Not experience the power and deliverance, the care and concern and love of fellowship with God in His daily presence. And be uncertain of an unsure future if we give up the fight and not being assured of living forever with God. So my encouragement this morning is that we would engage in spiritual warfare. I'd like to just make reference this morning and read a number of verses here, or at least make reference to some names. You know, spiritual warfare, we think of soldier. We want to talk a bit about that here in a little bit. But I'd like to look just a little bit at the enemy of our soul and his tactics. And I don't need to tell us this morning that we have an enemy that hates us and an enemy that is out to destroy us. And we heard about that this morning in these testimonies. And you know, Satan would love to do none other than get all of us to give up the faith. And I'd just like to look a little bit at the tactics of our enemy, just to encourage us to engage in the warfare that's needed. We see it first here in Genesis 3, verse 1. It says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree. So here we see that our enemy, the enemy of the soldier of the cross, is very cunning. The devil. Another scripture he's called the accuser of the brethren. That's our enemy. the accuser of the brethren. Another place he's called our adversary, the devil. He's our opponent. Revelation 9:11, he's called the angel of the bottomless pit. Another scripture, he's called a murderer from the beginning. He's called the power of the darkness, the prince of this world, the prince of the power of the air. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the mind of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them. He is called here the God of this world. And then in Matthew 13:19, he's called the wicked one. And that is the enemy of the Christian today. He's the enemy of our soul. He's the one that we wrestle against. And when we go through those difficult, hard things in life, he would like to take us out, our enemy. Soldiers have enemies, and that's our enemy. Well, I'd like to look here in this passage of Scripture a bit. Paul here, when he wrote the letter to the Ephesian church, I understand he was a prisoner in chains. It's very likely that he was chained to a Roman soldier while he wrote this letter and possibly forced to stare at this soldier in his presence day in and day out, and had an ideal picture of the armor that's needed for the Christian to be successful in life. So I think it's very likely here that Paul was chained to this Roman soldier while this scripture was written. I don't know if you're paying any attention to the news this week, but I understand, I think it was the 6th of this month was what they called D-Day, when a major event happened there in France, which is about 80 years ago. And they were interviewing this week some soldiers who are still alive that would have fought in that war. And it's incredible, the horrors of war and the bloodshed. Soldiers. We are not a soldier fighting in literal battles on this earth, but spiritual battles. Spiritual battles. And we have a chief commander who is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'd just like to focus a little bit on soldiers here this morning. My understanding is soldiers take orders from a chief commander, a literal soldier. Many times soldiers fighting literal battles don't know what's happening in all, you know, what things they should be doing, but they take their orders from a chief commander. And you know, this morning, as we heard these testimonies of the difficulties that some of you found yourself in, and yet to somehow have faith to believe that God, in all of that, in all of our circumstances, knows what he's doing. And he gives us orders how to respond to some of these situations. A military has an authority structure called a chain of command. The chain of command is made up of distinct levels of command, such as generals, colonials, captains, and sergeants. Each unit in the military is led by a commanding officer. The military values respect of authority and expects those in authority to make decisions with confidence. And you know, on this side of eternity, and it was said this morning quite a bit, we don't know what God is doing behind the scenes, do we? But God knows what he's doing. And the circumstances that he allows to come our way many times are tests that we know little about. And we don't always know what God is doing. In fact, many times we don't know what God is doing. But God does have a plan. Satan, our enemy, has tools. He has many distractions. He uses the world to draw us away and the flesh. 2 Corinthians 10:4 and 5 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So the weapons of our warfare are not carnal this morning, but they're mighty through God to pulling down of strongholds and casting down imaginations and those high things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. Well, I'd like to look a little bit more here at verses 10 through 13 right now. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You know, this morning, I think this passage would teach us that leaning on our own strength is not going to carry us through. We need the strength and the power of God. And you know, this morning is such a blessing. I think we heard testimonies of those that have chosen to lean on the strength and on the power of Almighty God. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Our strength will fail. Our choices will fail. We need God's strength and we need God's power. That's why I refer to some of the preceding verses here leading up to this. You know, it talks about the practical outworkings of the Christian life. We try to do it in our own flesh. It doesn't work. How many of you tried that? I tried it. We have tried that. It doesn't work. We need the strength of God and the power of His might. And I believe when we do it God's way, it is there for us today. It's available. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God. You know, that is our responsibility to put on the armor of God. It's not something that just falls on us naturally, is it? Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil or the methods of the devil. Or I think some translations would use the word trickery. Put on the whole armor of God. Notice it's not just the partial armor. We want to look at this armor here in a few minutes. But it's put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Stand. You know, it's interesting that it uses the word stand here. I remember years ago when we lived in York City, I had a friend. His name was Chester. He was a blind man and he used to donate his time for Salvation Army, where they would stand at the mall and they would ring their bell with their bucket. How many of you ever saw that? Salvation Army at shopping malls. I suppose they still do it today. Chester was an old man and he didn't have sight and he was pretty overweight, and it was tough for him to stand there in the sweat. But, you know, Salvation Army would tell him that he can only sit down if it's his last resort. They wanted him to stand there the whole time he was donating his time. Stand. It's interesting to me here that it uses the word stand. Gives the idea of not just sitting down, relaxing, right? Stand. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I read to you here a little bit ago some of the names of Satan and his work, the accuser of the brethren, and some of the things that it says there about identifying who he is. But, you know, this phrase here in Scripture has gripped me many years ago, and I don't ever want to forget it. And I think it's important that we take this through life. We are not wrestling against what? Flesh and blood. You know, so many times, and one of his names is the accuser of the brethren, right? How many times Satan, I believe that's one of his main things he does, is tries to get us against each other. Does he not? We are not wrestling this morning against flesh and blood. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. You know, that's quite a list of things that we're wrestling against. But isn't it a blessing this morning to hear the testimonies of people who come to grips and recognize what we're wrestling against and have victory over it? What a blessing. And there's a way. Verse 13, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. You know, I think this morning we heard some testimonies of the evil day, didn't we? We all have those situations of the evil day where we're tested. And Satan knows where our weakest point is. He knows where our weakest point is. And we need the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand and withstand that evil day, that day of temptation, that day when the difficulties come, that day when the pressures of life are about to overcome us, that we may be able to stand in the evil day. Well, I'd like to look now at the armor, the tools this morning that God gives to His children, that I think we can all end well and we don't have to be the tragedy. But I'd like to recommend to us this morning, as we heard, it's not that sprint, it's the marathon. It's when feelings are gone. It's when life is confusing and we don't understand. And I must say, Joshua, my heart weep with you when I heard some of the things that God called you to. I can't identify with some of those things. But what a blessing that you were able to wrestle through some of those difficult things. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. The opposite of truth is a lie, right? How many times does Satan come to us? In fact, I think there's a place that talks about him being the father of lies. Stand for truth. The ancient soldier's waist was girded about with a leather belt which held most of the other pieces of his armor in place. Truth. We must cleave and cling to truth. Similarly, the other pieces of the Christian armor depend on and are held in place by a spiritual belt or knowledge of the truth of the Scriptures. Conviction of truth. If I could encourage anything for you young people, it is spend time in this book to understand the truth and not believe the lies of the devil. I'll tell you a lie that he tried to convince me of, and we all are on a journey and we all had the beginning of our Christian life, whatever it is, our immaturities. Early on, after we committed our life to Christ in our home, I might have said this here before, I don't know, but we were blessed with a handicapped situation in our home. I wrestled through that for a number of years. And I believed some of his lies. Something was wrong. And in the middle of that happening, some relatives of ours had a handicapped situation. And they were convinced that Satan had something going on in their lives and they were not going to accept it. They were going to trust God for a miracle. And I believe miracles happen. Was I believing the truth? I think I was believing a lie and come to a place of believing the truth. But you know, Satan would love to feed us lies. Josh, as you were sharing your testimony of some of the situation, and I know some of the difficult things you sorted through. And you know, I know there was times when I tried to encourage you, and there was probably times I was a little bit like Job's miserable comforters. I don't know. Trying to encourage you. But until you are in some of those situations, it's just difficult. We must believe the truth. We must believe the truth. Truth is so important as we find our way. Know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Pilate said, "Art thou the king?" Jesus says, "Thou sayest that I am king. To this end was I born, and to this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness of the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And then Pilate said unto him, "What is truth?" What is truth this morning? Know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You know, God's people spent many years wandering in the wilderness because they did not embrace the truth. We must embrace the truth. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Truth is like an anchor. Ephesians 4:14, "That ye henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, by the cunning craftiness whereby they lie and wait to deceive." Truth is like an anchor, lest we be tossed to and fro. Learn to embrace the truth and believe the truth. And follow the truth. You know, I think of the heritage that many of us were given to grow up in homes where the truth was taught. I'd like to just make reference to that a little bit. You know, I have a distant relative of mine who, I don't know the story, I wasn't there. He's now a pretty old man. But somewhere in his youth, I don't know what his life all was like or looked like, but he chose to marry a wife who didn't, I don't believe, follow and embrace the truth that he followed. And to see where that has taken him today, many times I wonder what goes on in his mind. But the truth, to learn to embrace the truth, align ourselves with the Word of God. Learn to love the truth. Truth is like that belt that holds everything else in place. Embrace the truth and not believe the lies of the devil. The next one here is the breastplate of righteousness. I'd like to talk a little bit about that. The breastplate was a plate that covered the body of the soldier from the neck, I understand, down to the thighs. It was used to protect his heart, I believe, and the other important organs. Righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness and how important it is. And I'd like to just focus a little bit on the two different types of righteousness. First of all, we think of the righteousness of Christ when a believer puts his faith in Christ and trusts Christ, and Christ's righteousness makes him justified. That is one type of righteousness. But I believe, and we need that. We need that righteousness of Christ. Without that righteousness, we're all lost, right? Without the righteousness of Christ. But I believe it is referring here to a righteous life that comes from knowing God, that comes from following God, that actually protects us as we go through life. I'd like my thoughts to go there a bit this morning as we think of this breastplate of righteousness that the soldier, I believe, that had Paul there in chains was probably wearing, and Paul was probably eyeing it up. Titus 2:11-12 says, "The grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live righteously and soberly in this present world." You know, another word for righteousness, just to understand righteousness, is right living. Righteousness, right living. Right living is a breastplate that will protect us. It represents holy character and moral conduct, obedience to the truth. Righteousness is right living. And I'd just like to encourage us this morning, especially young people. And as I had said earlier here, that I think one of Satan's biggest tools today is to lure us away by the world, which is driven and motivated by our flesh. But to live a righteous, pure life, to know who we are, to make decisions. I'm a committed child of God. Righteous living, right living, I believe is an incredible protection to us for some of the onslaughts of the devil to make choices of right living. You know, it's so easy for the younger generation with all kinds of things to allure us and draw us away. Right living. You know, fathers, I think it's important, if I may say it this way, and just talk a little bit about it, that we help our young people and our teenagers in our homes make right choices for life. I think it's a protection. I think it is. And I'm not talking about some sort of self-righteousness, pulling ourselves up by our own bootstraps. But you know, it's so easy to begin making choices in life that just, it comes from the world. This breastplate of righteousness is right living. You know, I wasn't sure if I wanted to say this or not, but some of you saw I did this when we were at Father and Son Camp. I'm not sure what even motivated us to do it, me to do it, if it was the conversation or what it was, but I asked for one of the boys for their cap, and I got a hold of some bright red shoes, and I took a baseball cap, and I put it on backwards, and I put these bright red shoes on, and the fellows started kind of looking at me a little bit strange. And I felt strange. But you know, it's very easy to go down that road of just letting the world's influence us into something different than the pilgrim people of God. Can I just say it that way? Right living, making right choices, godly living is a blessing. Is a blessing. And I know it's so easy to just let the influence of the world, but righteous living, it defines who we are. Young person, make choices in life to help you define who you are, where you are going. It will bless you. When you go into the world, it defines who you are and which camp you belong to. Don't let your choices give a murky appearance of who you are. I thought about using this example just to get my point across. Enoch walked with God, right? Am I thinking the right person? It was Enoch who walked with God. And it says, I think he was not, for God took him. Many times you probably heard this story already of how, it's just kind of a picture, it doesn't say this is the way it is, but it gives the idea of Enoch. Enoch walked so close with God that one day he was walking with God, and it got to the end of the day, and God said, well, I'm closer to my home than to your home, why don't you just come home with me? Have you ever heard that story already, probably that way? You know, I think sometimes it works out that way for the people of God. We become influenced by this world. And I know as a young person, I was influenced by this world in incredible ways, and I failed the test far worse than any of you probably did. The world influences us to do certain things, and we do it. And let me ask a question. Have any of you ever saw a woman take a covering off overnight, just take a big covering off and throw it away? Has that ever happened? Okay, has one over here anymore? Probably happens some. Very rarely that it happens. It usually does what? Smaller and smaller and smaller. Have any of you ever saw a person who one day just threw away the pilgrim Christian life and just became blatant worldly? I understand it happened even here at Ephrata, where there was a young person, you were having a picnic somewhere, and just showed up looking like the world. It happens. It rarely happens. It's usually, what, one step at a time, right? One step at a time. One step at a time. That's how it happens. And you know, I'd like to think, and that's why I talk about truth, building conviction. Building conviction to make right choices in life, young people. But sometimes young people need help from their parents. They do. Finding their way with that, with the goal of getting to a place of a person of conviction, to know what's right and wrong and build your convictions. And when those things happen, it's a blessing. But usually some young people need help with that. Well, using that same example of Enoch walking with God. And I know that's not necessarily scripture. It doesn't say that it happened that way, but it gives an idea how it happened. But, you know, I think it happens many times for young people. We just begin more influence of the world. You know, that day at the father and son camp where I took that hat and put it on backwards and took those bright shoes, I felt pretty uncomfortable. If I would have done it later in the day, and I would have done it the next day, and I would have done it the next day, a couple weeks later, I could probably start feeling pretty comfortable wearing a hat on backwards and wearing some corny shoes and whatever else would go with it, right? We get accustomed to it. We get accustomed to it. I just like to give it as a caution, especially to young people. That is how that thing works. That is how that thing works. And at some point, you go far enough down this road and you just simply become more and more comfortable and you forget who you really are. Forget who you are. May I just encourage you, it's a breastplate of righteousness, right living. That helps me understand righteousness when I think of right living. And you know, it's just all over. I don't personally have Facebook. I don't have social media, but I could invest an incredible amount of time in that, just watching people. When I'm around somebody that has it, and they say, "Hey, look at this," and then, "Oh, look at this," and "Oh, look at this," and "Oh, look at this," and you see such a shift in people potentially when we allow Satan and his kingdom or the world to influence us. The breastplate of right living. All right, thirdly here, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Roman soldiers wore special shoes on their feet, enabling them to advance against the enemy. Special cleats on the bottom of their shoes to assist them in their footing and give them grip in slippery places. And there was also at times they used it to flee, I believe. The feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You know, I believe it was that Joseph had when he was there in Potiphar's house when he was tempted and he had to flee. I believe Joseph had peace and Joseph was able to do that. The gospel of peace. How should they preach except they be sent? How should they bring good tidings, glad tidings of good things? Romans 10:15, and then Philippians 4:7 says, "And the God of peace, which passes understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Jesus Christ." Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Learn to live a life of peace. Making right choices. The God of peace. The God of peace. Let the peace of God rule in our hearts, to the which you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. You know, the armor of peace. Learning to live in peace and make right choices. Romans 12:1 says, "If it be possible, as much as lieth within you, live in peace with all men." You know, it's so easy to let unforgiveness and bitterness crop up in our hearts and rob us of peace. But oh, the blessing to live a life of peace. And I know that Jesus taught that he didn't come to bring peace, he said in one place, but a sword. And he came to set a man at variance, to say, with his parents, possibly a spouse. I'm not sure how that all says it. And I realize that to some, even in the room here in this church here, have been called to walk that journey where it does bring a sword, but largely to live a life of peace. Especially as a young person, I knew what it was like to not live in peace with my parents and to, you know, live a life like that, knowing that the life I was living wasn't pleasing my parents, let alone pleasing Almighty God. But you know, it's a powerful weapon that we have to live a life of peace. Pursue peace with all men. Learn to forgive as Jesus taught, even if it's 70 times seven. To learn to forgive and to let go. Live a life of peace. We heard a bit about that this morning. You know, but to be able to forgive. And so peace, the gospel of peace. And then number four here, above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The shield of faith, to trust God. And here again, it was such a blessing to me, such a powerful testimony to hear of the faith. You know, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. When we find ourselves in difficult situations, trust God. And I know faith isn't a button that we can just push and then have faith. But you know, especially young people, the more time you spend in this book, The Foundation of Faith. And you know, I believe hearing Nicole and Joshua's testimony and even Heather, your journey, having the foundation of faith that will carry us through those difficult times where we can be fully committed to trust God and to walk with God. Faith. Faith is like a shield to protect us from those fiery darts of the enemy that are many times lethal. You know, it's typical, especially for young Christians, the time to question their faith, question their salvation, question the call. You know, isn't that how Satan works? In fact, that was his strategy there in Genesis 3 when he came to Eve. He says, the serpent who is more subtle than any beast of the field. I read it earlier. He said unto the woman, yea, hath God said to question us? But oh, that we would build ourselves up, as the scripture says, in the most holy faith, the shield of faith. And when he comes and questions us with those fiery darts, that we can take that shield of faith and trust God and not become discouraged. Even though we deal with that sometimes. But the shield of faith, a very, very important part of the armor. And then number five here we have, take the helmet of salvation. Assurance of salvation. You know, it's interesting to me when I see these motorcycles today flying sometimes, men wearing no helmet. And you know, if there's some sort of a crash or a deer crosses the road, it's over. No protection. But take the helmet of salvation. Isn't it a blessing this morning that we can live because of Jesus Christ, the reality of our salvation? Take the helmet of salvation. A good soldier in the military is usually only a good soldier if he is there by choice to serve his country and his allegiance. Take the helmet of salvation. It's our choice. Our choice to follow Jesus. Therefore, if a man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become as new. Live the reality of our salvation. And then number six, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. In a literal sense, the sword was used to both fight off the army, to fight off and slay the enemy. By living in the scripture, he protects us from the onslaughts of the enemy and fights to win battle. Battle after battle, day after day. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of joint and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God. Become acquainted and familiar with the word of God and use the word of God. Just like Jesus used the word of God when he was tempted there. Three times he said, it is written. Know the word of God and use the word of God. The word of God is powerful. Psalms 119:9 says, wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy word. The word of God is like a sharp sword. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Hide the word of God in our hearts. The word of God is powerful. And when we're on that difficult marathon, that difficult journey where the going gets tough, know the word of God and learn to trust the word of God and believe the word of God and use the word of God against the enemy, just like Jesus did. The word of God is powerful. Well, I'd like to focus yet on the last one here. It says, in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Prayer. Without prayer, the armor is inadequate to achieve the victory. Learn to pray. And pray much. You know, yesterday I was so blessed. I stopped in over there to see James. Where's Caleb sitting at? I should have asked Caleb if I can do that this morning. But I think Caleb's going to be okay with it. I was there to visit James yesterday. And Betty and Caleb were there. And, of course, we were having time of fellowship there and talking. And it was time for Caleb and Betty to go. And Caleb says, I'd like to pray for Grandpa before we go. I'd like to bless you, Caleb. Pray. Prayer is our energy. Pray always. The soldier who is not always praying is not assured of God's protection. In a sense, the spiritual soldier. You know, it says pray always. I don't think that means we should always be praying. But, you know, I think it is we should always have that access line to prayer open, where we cry out to God. We cry out to God when we face those hard things in life that we heard in the testimonies this morning, to cry out to God. Pray always. Pray always. And, you know, it says here, pray in the Spirit. I think it says it that way. In the Spirit. It talks about praying in the Spirit. You know, as I pondered that this week and did a little bit of studying about praying in the Spirit, I came across Romans 8, 26 and 27. And I'd just like to make a comment about this. And I think it's going to ring clear in many of our testimonies here and in the testimonies that we heard this morning. Romans 8, 26 and 27 says this: "And likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings, which cannot be uttered." I wonder how many of us ever felt that way, that you're faced with such a difficult situation. Joshua, I thought about that this morning with you, and you're talking about the pressure in your brain and not being able to remember things and not being able to think. I'm sure there was many times you felt you couldn't pray. You might even said it that way. And sometimes when we face these hard things, we just, what do we do? How do we pray? What do we ask for? Maybe life is confusing and the journey is difficult, and we're faced with these onslaughts of trying to figure things out. It talks here about praying in the Spirit. And then verse 27 says, "And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." I somehow get a picture as I read these verses that when we are just maybe facing a very hard thing, I'm not talking about rejecting God and walking away from God and God somehow takes care of that, but I'm talking when the heart is turned towards God and we're facing difficult things that we hardly know how to pray. If I'm understanding the scripture right, it's saying the Spirit takes that and presents it to God with whatever the need is. It just gives a beautiful picture here of we groan and we can't hardly pray, and somehow the Spirit interprets that prayer. Maybe you need to correct me after the service here if I'm interpreting that wrong. But you know, what it really tells me is that when we face those hard things and we hardly know how to pray, God's Spirit makes intercession for us, for the saints, according to the will of God. According to the will of God. Well, it says here that we should pray with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You know, perseverance, just like that band pedaling up the hill on our bicycle, when it takes perseverance to keep going, to pray with perseverance. My understanding is that George Mueller, he was known to be the man that prayed, man of prayer, that George Mueller prayed, I think it was for five different men. And in his life, at the end of his life, he saw a few of those prayers answered. But after he was dead and gone, God answered the rest of those prayers for the five men he prayed for. Pray with perseverance. You know, I have some situations in my family that aren't good with one of my brothers. And you know, sometimes it's easy just to kind of give up. But you know, to pray. Pray with perseverance. We don't know how and when God will answer those prayers. I'm inspired many times by Brother Tim here praying for his wife. Trusting God. Even if he doesn't see the day when she turns around, we don't know what God will do with those prayers someday in life. To pray with perseverance and to pray. I'd like to give a story here. It doesn't say it here in this passage of Scripture, but there's other passages of Scriptures where it talks about praying with thanksgiving. And you know, it's so important, I think, that we pray with a thankful heart. And I was thinking about it because I had mine to say this, but I must be honest, when Joshua, when you were saying, sharing some of the things that you shared this morning of your journey, I understand why it's difficult sometimes to be thankful when we're facing a really hard thing. But to look for things that can be thankful. And I'm going to share this anyway, and it's, of course, not a literal story, but it makes a point, and I think it's a powerful point. But I want to transform my life, and I'm going to share this in light of having a thankful heart. The story is given, and you probably heard this already, but the story is given of the devil boasting of his barn or storehouse that was full of seeds of discouragement. The question was asked, why all the seeds of discouragement? The devil's response was, these are seeds I can sow in the hearts of men and be successful in destroying and hindering their faith. These seeds will grow in any soil, almost any soil. The question was asked, is this method 100% successful? The devil's reply was, almost. The question was asked, what type of soil do these seeds not work? The reply of the devil was, the heart or soil the seeds are not successful is a thankful heart. Is a thankful heart. Pray with thanksgiving. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God. And I think the following verse is, and the peace of God, which passes understanding, shall keep our hearts and minds through Christ. Learn to pray. Pray with thanksgiving. Prayer will make all these other tools work. Pray. Learn to pray. Well, I want to bring it to a close here. Conclusion. We can be assured to do what God says in His Word, and victory is sure. You know, we don't have to end the tragedy of what was talked about last Sunday of almost none of those other ones. We don't know the story and the end. But you know, this morning, I would just like to remind us, and it just came through so clear in the testimonies, that the Christian life is not a sprint. It's not a sprint. It's the longevity of a life lived. And I think we have the tools in the Word of God here that every one of us can end well. Every one of us can end well by embracing the truth, by right living because of Him, the breastplate of righteousness, living in peace. Live a life of peace. Isn't it a blessing? Walk in faith, embrace our salvation, and make use of the sword of spirit and a life of prayer. And you know, this morning, as we consider these things, if we are know that in our lives we've been compromising in these areas and we're not doing well, you know, we can do what we heard this morning. Cry out to God. Cry out to God. Such a blessing this morning to hear these testimonies. Well, I think I'll close with that. I'd like if we would kneel for prayer. And in prayer, I'd like to just give a bit of silence for you to talk personally with God. If there's any areas where you've been struggling in life and you realize you've been lacking, utilizing the tools that God gives us, you can talk to God about it, and then I'll close in prayer. Let's kneel together. Father in heaven, thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for the encouragement that we could receive by being together here this morning. Thank you for the eternal truths in the Word of God. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ who came and shed His blood for our sins and rose again and lives and intercedes for us today. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. And we thank you, Lord, that there's still faith on the earth. And we recognize, Lord, we are living in a deteriorating society because of rejecting the truth, because of rejecting God, by rejecting the law of God. And yet, Lord, you are building your church. And this morning, thank you that we can be part of that church where you are still working.
Father, we ask that you bless each one that's here this morning. Thank you for the testimonies. And I pray that you would work deeply in our hearts. And Father, you know those among us who are possibly struggling, young people who are struggling to make right choices. Life is confusing. The world is pressing in and influencing us. God, I pray, especially for our precious young people, to make right choices, to turn to God, and to wrestle, and to recognize that this life is not a sprint, as necessary as it is to come to Christ and experience salvation, but to be willing to wrestle, to be willing to fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. And I pray, Father, that you would work in all of our hearts together, work in our congregation. Father, we commit our lives into your hands and care. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Ephrata Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.